Welcome everyone to Talia Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast, where we dive deep into the realms of confidence and assertiveness with our co-host, Talia Bombola. As a licensed marriage and family therapist and specialist in confidence and assertiveness, Talia brings a wealth of expertise and insights to our discussions. Join us each Tuesday as we explore practical strategies, personal anecdotes, and empowering advice to help you cultivate the confidence and assertiveness you need to thrive in all aspects of life. Get ready to unlock your full potential and build the life you desire with Talia and Jason as your guides. Talia, welcome to your day. It is Talia Tuesday.
I'm excited to be here. I love it. Tuesdays.
I know. We always say this. We're so excited for you to be here.
I actually am excited. There's podcasts where I'm not like as excited, but I still say it because it's a pleasantry, but I actually am excited.
I'm glad. It's always fun to get together and have these conversations. And I know that people are appreciating it because the downloads on these are more than the regular podcast. So what that tells me is people like things that are easily digestible. Yes. We try to do this in about 15 minutes for everybody because we're respecting your time. I understand that you have questions. We have some answers, maybe not all the answers, but we'll definitely give you some things to think about and to help you out.
Definitely. I'm excited for today's. Yeah, definitely today's question. This one was a doozy. When you first sent it, I was like, where do we even start?
I know. And these are great. So I love, if you guys want to connect with us, you can send a message. You can DM me. You can go to my Stand store, which is really the easiest method. So you can drop in a request to have your question answered on the Blueprint Podcast with Talia. Here we go. Let's dive in. If you could find the time to respond with your opinion, it would be much appreciated. Prayer hands. I love when people start things out like this because it's like super respectful.
Yes.
And I'm about to drop a bomb on you. It's coming. So here we go. Yeah. What do you think of?
Okay, he does not punctuate this properly.
Yeah. Before we dive in, I am going to say that I'm reading this direct from what was written. So guys, please proofread whatever it is that you're going to put down on.
It could end up on a podcast someday.
Yeah. Because we're going to go through this, we're going to read it, we're going to decipher it the best that we can. But it says, what do you think, to make it very basic, situation in where the guy, me, leaves the woman who was very avoidant. So we have an avoidant woman in this situation.
He doesn't identify what he is.
Yeah, I think that tends to be a little bit more obvious because he's asking the question, right? He's diving into this. He's very curious. He's worried. He's concerned. He's trying to figure things out. He's using the term avoidance. So whether he heard it on social media or he took the time to dive into a couple books like Attached or whatever's out there these days, there's so many that are being written. So I would say that he's probably leaning more anxious because he's trying to figure out the other person and he knows enough to call her an avoidant.
True.
Although I did not want to at all, it felt necessary only to get back together. And I suspect she slept around during our break.
Harlot. I'm just kidding. Guest appearance by Chloe.
Yeah, it's, everybody always says it's not a podcast without Chloe.
Well, there she is making her debut.
And I tried to feed her right before this as we started recording. So clearly she's done eating.
She has the energy now.
And now somebody's walking by the house. So, but that's the thing that happens when we go on a break.
Yes.
So we go on a break. We don't really set the parameters of the break or what that looks like. We don't communicate it. We don't say, hey, look, hey, by the way, since we're on a break, there's a potential we could get back together. Don't sleep with anybody.
Or they hope that the break is going to somehow, like when they say break, you're going to, we talked about, I think it was the second episode about operational definitions of words. If I define a break as we're still going to keep each other in our mind's eye, but not do anything with anyone else. And you define a break as like open season. We're already not on the same page. We're taking a break. You and I are taking a break, but we're not defining it the same way. So and this does actually sound like classic anxious, like I want you, but I don't want you to know that I want you. And I want to control what you're doing, even when you're not around. And then when we get back together and we'll finish it. But yeah.
That's... But I also want you to know what I'm thinking and feeling.
Without me having to ask, because that's my favorite.
Right, because I know you mind read. You should
just know not to sleep with other people when we're on our break. Yeah.
Yes, and to meet my needs and do all the things that I need you to do, because, well, that's what I learned.
It's also a test, I would say. If he subconsciously, if he left and he was like, let's see if she does this, that you're already, that's doomed to fail because you're testing your partner and they're failing a test they don't even know they're taking.
Yes. And a lot of times people don't even know they're giving the test. It's
true.
It's
like a weird pop quiz that nobody knows about.
It's operationally, this is what I learned. This is what I saw happen. This is what I witnessed in relationships early on in my life. And it's what I've practiced in adulthood. And I don't know any other way.
Yep.
Subconsciously, I'm going to test you and I'm going to push you and I'm going to get you to the brink of breaking yourself because then at least you love me. Mm-hmm. Right?
And you won't leave. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on a break. Yet I put her in that position, but now she is the perfect girlfriend.
All of a sudden
this comes together. She is now, she was avoidant. She was a harlot.
And now
she's the perfect girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something I should bring up to know the truth? Is it even considered cheating?
No. I don't think it is.
Considered cheating? When you're on a break, and you don't talk about it.
It's like Ross. I never watch Friends, but it's Ross and whoever. We were on a break. You're on a break. You never own that person, but you definitely aren't privy to their life when you're on a break. I don't think it's cheating. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. It's definitely going to be situational. It's like, how long have you been dating? What are the parameters of dating? What does that look like for you when you go on this break?
Yeah.
Have you talked about it? Have you laid any groundwork? Have you talked about, we'll come back in 2 weeks and discuss what our thoughts, feelings, and emotions are and really try to dive into this. And if there's something to repair, then we can start working on that. So it's really the intention of which, or you're on a break because you're done and you're just not
ready,
willing or capable to say, yeah, we're done.
It could feel like cheating. I want to correct myself. It can absolutely feel like cheating, both for the person doing it, if she did, or the person receiving the information that the other person did it, but by the technical definition, no, it's not cheating, but that's the emotional nuance that goes into it.
And we hear this a lot in relationships from like teenagers and really throughout your 20s, right? True. Because we don't communicate well, we don't talk about this stuff, and it's, but we were on a break. And you were on a break. And if you're not going to set the parameters and there's no intentions, then they're going to do whatever they're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's in alignment with their values and their standards and their morals and who they are as a person.
Then
when you come back together, if that's not in alignment with your goals, values, standards, and morals, are you going to stick to it? Or are you going to bend the break?
Keep the break going.
So is it even considered cheating? She posted runs of thirst traps. And I don't know if this was her advertising herself to link up with guys and make me jealous. When she came back, she swore the first time I asked that she'd been with no one. But when I ended it, I tried reaching out and she told me not to contact her for a whole month while she posted these things and went out to party. I want the reassurance, but I feel she'll just say what she's already told me.
Okay, so he is anxious. Process of elimination.
And there's a lot of other stuff that's going on because what would you say about the statements that he's making about her and the things that she's doing? What would you say about that?
Like, what would be my,
in terms of the thirst traps and
a lot of judgment there.
And so there's judgment, right? Within that judgment, why is that judgment coming up for him?
I would say because there are, especially the last part, the reassurance. Look, reassurance is normal in a relationship. We sometimes do it without intentionally doing it. If I told you, like we talked today, I'll meet you at this time and you're here at this time, it's reassuring because I'm following through on an agreement. The need for reassurance, though, and the going back and asking again and wanting to know, were you faithful to me? We were on a break, you're the perfect girlfriend. Then I think it communicates judgment from him on her end of what she's doing. And the way that it's being described is what I can see peeking behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain, is that's a lot of anxiety. That's a lot of need for reassurance. And you're not good enough because I don't feel good enough. So I'm going to describe you as not being good enough because it really impacts me that you weren't everything I wanted you to be. Then I had time and space away. I abandoned you before you could abandon me. Now we're all of a sudden back together. And I want reassurance that you were still with me even though we were on this break. So I think it says a lot about where, and this is no judgment on my end, I'm just describing, I have a lot of empathy for this person because that's very difficult to be anxiously attached and not have it be, you know, treated properly or attended to. And it's really frustrating when you want reassurance in a relationship, but there's some part of you that will never believe the person no matter what they say. She could let you look through her phone, you could find nothing, and you could see she deleted it. That goes back to this might be coming from within this person. They need to give themselves the reassurance they are enough and they are good enough. Otherwise, no one they date is going to fit the bill.
I completely agree with that. And what they're doing is he's created, and again, this is speculation, but you can...
Walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
Yeah. But what he's created is an idealized version of her. Yes. In his head.
Yes.
And so what he's witnessing with the thirst traps and some of these other behaviors, that there's things that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
And that's in direct conflict with this story that he's created about this person and their relationship and who she is and what she's all about and how he would like her to be and how he would like her to show up in this relationship. But what he's not seeing is the real person. Okay. Those thirst traps and creating that type of content and putting those things out there, that's the real person.
True.
And so we have to look at people for who they are in the moment and the way that they're expressing themselves and the things that they do. And it's really not for you to pass judgment. Mm-mm. But what you're recognizing is you don't like something.
Yes.
And this is out of alignment with your desires of someone that you're dating and who you want to be with. But now we've made this person the object of your affection, that it has to be this person. I want to be with this person for all of these reasons. They're so kind. They're all these other things, but they're also the person that's posting these thirst traps. Again, there's no judgment here, but
no.
What you're saying and you're not recognizing inside of yourself is you don't like this behavior. So what are you going to do with that? It goes against your values and your standards. So why are we pushing to try to be with this person to get them to like you? Why are you trying to change them to be something else so that you can like them?
Because then I will finally be good enough.
Yeah.
That's the, not the lie, that's the internal compass, if you will, or like the litmus test. If I do this, then I will finally be good enough and somebody will finally fit the mold that I want. It's like buying a fixer-upper house. And again, not passing judgment, just describing how it feels. It's like buying a fixer-upper house and being like, if we just change the wallpaper and the carpet and the beams and the roof and the, like, and they're just listing pretty much pull it back to the studs. And they're like, perfect. Now we can rebuild. The other person's, I don't want to be pulled back to the studs. I like the house. I'm willing to change the wallpaper, but that's about it. There's going to be modifications when you get in a relationship. Of course, we shape each other's behaviors because when somebody comes to us and they have a request, it's not a demand or a guarantee like we've talked about. Hey, it would really mean the world to me. I'd feel closer to you, whatever, if you did this. The person can choose, okay, no problem. I can still be myself if I make this change. That is so different than this person who's writing in. Now they're the perfect girlfriend, but I still want to know if they did all these things. That anxious attachment inner compass, if I change you into exactly who I want you to be, then I will prove my worth because I've worked so hard, because I've done such a good job, because I finally made you into who I think you should be, because that's the only person I think would ever want to be with me and never leave me, is, I think, going down underneath the surface. Like, what's going on down underneath the surface?
Thank you all for tuning into today's episode of Talia Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast with Talia Bombola. Remember, building confidence, self-love, and assertiveness is a journey, and each step you take brings you closer to your goals. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast for more insightful conversations and practical tips to support your personal growth. And head over to my Stand store to sign up for the 21-day self-love challenge on sale now. And you can also drop a question for Talia and I for the podcast. Until next time, keep embracing your strengths, asserting your boundaries, and living authentically. Take care, and we'll see you next Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast.